What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Music Show. Where's my guest at? I lost him. There he is. Dave Kynes.
Hi.
Out. How are you?
Hey, Dave? How's it going, Greg?
Good, good. Good to see you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me here.
Hey, thanks to my sponsor, Liquid Death. I got some of this stuff for you, too.
Oh, nice.
Good to see you. Thanks for coming in, man. I wanted to say what up. I wasn't sure exactly where you were at because I wanted to actually have you come down to the studio. But then I was like, oh, shoot, man, I didn't know where you were at. So I was kind of like, you know, let's just do a remote. And it's so hot outside today. But I just wanted to get on air and just catch up with you and see how you've been.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
For sure, dude. For sure. How's the studio going?
It's good. I've just been crazy. It's actually, it would have been hard for me to get away anyway because I got a lot of projects going on right now. So this probably is a little better doing this remotely anyway.
But, you know, it's a trip. I was thinking of, sorry, I'm trying to get my, I haven't done a home show in a while because since the pandemic, we've been able to go back into the studio. So I have like my shit everywhere. So I had to just run home and like set everything back up. But yeah, I've been keeping up with you on that, dude. Like, that's rad. Like, you have a lot of bands coming in there. Like, your business is good.
Yeah. No, it's been good. It's been like my saving grace through the pandemic for one thing.
That's rad.
Yeah. No, I guess it's kind of kept my sanity because I really haven't been anywhere. I've just been kind of working this whole time. So,
yeah,
you know, so I'm constantly around music all the time. I haven't been to a show or anything since the last one I played, which was early March, right before the pandemic. I did a show with the Rattlesnakes fill-in, and that was the last show I'd been to. So
how long were you drumming with Agent Orange?
That was, I did it for like 10 years.
God, you did it for a long time.
Yep.
You're a touring maniac.
Well, not right now.
No, but you were. You definitely were. Do you miss it at all, being on the road, or no?
I don't know about right now. You know, I there's things I miss
That's
about
true.
It too. And a lot of it, I think one of the things I probably miss the most about touring, one of them is, it's cool seeing stuff, but you only see so much when you're on the road. Because a lot of it's just like the van window.
Right.
Days on. But it's like all these friends I made on the road, I haven't seen in a while. So, you know, it's kind of a bummer. Even being shows, like I'm working this weekend, I'm not going to Punk Rock Bowling. So I haven't really seen anybody that hasn't been here for whatever, almost 2 years.
Right. How do you feel about going to shows again? Are you like down with it, or you want them to be outside, or do you even care one way or another?
Well, I mean, you know, the thing is, I guess, I don't really want to get sick or anything. I'm not like petrified of it or anything like that, but also just, I've kind of just, I guess the thing is, I've been like touring since I was 17 and I'm almost 50. So it's kind of nice taking a break. And the thing is, I really love working on records too. So it's not, this isn't like torturous for me.
Right.
I guess like the biggest thing is it's fun playing. The other thing is just not seeing everybody. That's the thing.
Sure.
It's kind of weird. So social media is kind of nice for that, but that's about it, you know.
How did you start touring so young?
Just these bands I played in. It was a lot of, it was mostly like surf and garage bands I was playing with.
Right.
So we just started, like the first show I played, I think the first real show I played was when I was like 17. I played at SOMA in San Diego.
God,
was,
like, this is rad. Cool.
It was like this 60s festival called New Sounds of the 60s. And it was in a power pop band I was in. It was a three-piece power pop band called The Others.
Uh-huh.
So we just did like, it was like, you know, like 80s power pop, like mod stuff. Like very, you know, we even did like jam stuff and everything. So it was that very like that 80s mod scene kind of stuff. So so that was cool. And then just ever since then, I've been playing, started playing that band. We started playing like San Francisco and the Bay Area and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then eventually other bands I started playing and you started venturing out, going more up the West Coast, doing flyouts, all that kind of stuff. So, and then eventually, I think it was my mid-20s is when I started doing like the real long tours. So the band I was in, the Bob Moore's, the first tour he did with the full, like first national tour it was opening for the Cramps.
That's so rad. Where was that?
It was like 5 or 6 weeks. It was all like off cities. So it was us with the Amazing Royal Crowns and the Cramps. We were like the opening band.
Uh-huh.
And it was all like theaters. And we did all these, like the first show was, the first show was the Will Rogers Theater in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And it looped all around. And then last show was like in Denver.
Wow.
And you know, it was like probably like 6 weeks.
That's great. And then how did you end up booking up with Agent Orange, with Mike and everybody? Just
well,
like gigging and touring?
Well, I met Mike like a long time ago. I was an Agent Orange fan. I was a big Agent Orange fan when I was a skater
Sure.
since I was a kid. So I was always in the band.
Right.
And then I met Mike a few times. The first time I met him too, it was like this weird cacophony society. I don't know if you ever heard of the cacophony society. They were they're probably still around. They're like a group that did all these like performance art pieces, like live,
Right.
in clubs and stuff too. And I met Mike at some club. He had his 3D camera. He was taking pictures, and there was this band I was in called the Finks. And I met him, but I didn't even know it was like Mike Palm. It was so funny. I don't know why I didn't think about it because I was at the show. So I'm just talking. I'm like, oh, this nice guy is into this music and stuff too. And he's like taking 3D pictures and stuff too. And then fast forward, I kept running into him. So I'd run into him every once in a while. And then the thing is, I did a show. Do you remember the like like Deke Dickerson? So do you know like he had those guitar geek festivals he used to put on? So another band I was in called the Ghastly Ones, we played the Guitar Geek Festival, and at that show there was a guy that I'm still friends with, I work with on music too, named Laramie Dean. He was the guy who was doing like tour managing the band Agent Orange at the time, and they were kind of in their they were at the point of like looking for another drummer. And so Laramie knew me from before from other bands I was in. So Laramie came to that Guitar Geek Festival, and he's like, hey, you still play drums? I'm like, yeah, because I was playing organ in the Ghastly Ones. He said, hey, Agent Orange is looking for a drummer. Would you be interested in playing? I was like, of course. I knew all the I knew those songs. So then it took probably took like 6 months. They still had a couple of tours. They did like a European tour, and they did one last tour with the guy I replaced. And then after that, Mike called me. And I just started practicing all the songs, and then I guess the
That's
rest is
rad.
history for me.
That's and
So,
it was a 10-year run with those guys.
yeah, it was a good run, and man, it was awesome. We went to a lot of
That's
good
a
places.
decade. You did a decade.
Yeah, I
That's
know, and it's
great.
funny because I'm starting to look like old. So I was like, man, when I came into the band in my 30s, I left in my late 30s, and left the band in my late 40s,
Well,
and I was like, dude.
you look good. You still not drinking?
Oh yeah. No, no drinking.
How long has
Yeah.
it been since you drank? It's got to be what, 5 years now? 4 or 5 years?
I think 5 years will be March.
Good for you. Were you drinking a
So
lot
yeah,
on
thanks.
tour?
What's that?
Were you drinking a lot on tour?
That's the funny thing. Okay, like not to quote
It's
Mike,
hard,
but
dude. It's hard.
well.
My drummer and I were talking about that today, and I'm just like, I can't do it anymore. Like I hurt so much, and then you're in a van and you're driving for 7 hours, and then you got to sing it or play another show. It's like he goes, it's funny. My drummer's so disciplined when it comes to being on the road. Like he will not drink, and Ike says, you know what? Like the last. We did a tour to a summer right before the pandemic, and I didn't drink. And we were playing like we went to Laughlin, we went everywhere, and we did a big Arizona run, and it was like scorching hot. And there were times we were just in these like phenomenal places where I'm just like, man, drinking right now would be a lot of fun, but I just didn't do it because I can't hang the next day and it hurts too much. And so when you're on the road and then you don't perform as well, and those 2 beers for me, they turn into 10 beers, and then I'm just hating it the next day. And it just, so I can only imagine with you guys, because you guys were constantly on the road.
Yeah, there's a lot of times I like sat hung over in the van. The van's like driving around for hours. It's pretty miserable, as you get older, because
The worst,
hangovers take
dude.
longer to like burn up. But the thing is, so my little story of my last time I like kind of partied hard was, we were on tour with a band. It was a band from, oh God, I can't remember blowing the name of the band. It was a but it was a punk band we were on tour with, and we had a show in Detroit, and then we had a day off the next day. And actually that day off the next day was Mike Palm's birthday, of all things. So we're like, all right, we're off, right? So those guys are like, hey, come hang out at Jim the drummer's house after the show. And I was like, all right, great. I don't know if you knew, Michigan has Del Tacos in it too, by the way. So
Really?
yeah, so if
I didn't
you've been
know
on the road for like 3 or 4 weeks, you're like stoked to find Del Tacos. So we found a Del Taco, got food, and then we're getting a bunch of booze going back to
that.
Jim's house, the drummer's house, just to like play video games and hang out with those guys. Well, there's a thing called Malort that they serve in Chicago. You ever heard of that? It's like it's somewhere between like kerosene and mouthwash or something. It's horrible. But it's like a rite of passage. So if you
Sure.
kind of drink it and then you get everyone looks at your face, how your face looks and that stuff, like you're So I drank I so there of course like I caved into peer pressure with these guys. These guys were like at least 10 years younger than me. So I'm like around 40 or early 40s, and these guys are like 30, you know. So there's obviously there's an advantage of the age difference too of the drinking stuff too. So I'm sitting here doing shots of Malort, and I kept drinking it because they just I caved into peer pressure like an idiot. Well, the next day I woke up like face down in this like half inflated air mattress, and the bass player from their band was like kicking me. He's like, "Let's go!" Takes me back to the hotel. I take a shower and get ready. We hit the road. Well, man, the whole time I'm sitting there in the van, and like I just start raining sweat, and my mouth starts filling up. And I tell Mike, I'm like, "Dude, you got to pull over." The van's driving on the street. I open the doors, and like a gunner just like barfing on like out of the van. And then Mike gets into a parking like in a gas station. This is like probably like 2 p.m. And I'm sitting here with the van open. I'm like puking out of the van door like 2 p.m. And I see guys in like suits like fill up their gas tank and stuff. And I was like, all right, it's time for me to like cool my jets, you know. And that's when I kind of like pulled the reins back.
That's when you slowed down. Did you just stop right then and there, or did you just kind of slowly wheeze off of it?
Yeah, I like eased, like I came in for a landing. I just kind of like eased in a little bit. Like,
Came in for a landing.
no more big nights after that. But I don't regret quitting though. It's fine. It's actually good. Much better.
You lost a lot of weight because I saw you at NAMM. Dude, I saw you at NAMM right when the fucking pandemic was hitting. Like, we talked upstairs at the Fender booth. And that
Yeah.
was, dude, so we left on a tour right after there, a week later, with Death by Stereo and Tsunami Bombs. And dude, I was on death's door. I was friggin' sicker than you could imagine. It was the worst. I was so bad. And I
Was it
remember
COVID?
talking. Yeah, it had to be. I mean, I've never been that sick in my life. And if it wasn't, I sure don't want to find out what is. It was bad. It was bad. It was real bad. Hey, if you're just tuning in, this is a music show here on LA Talk Radio. We are live as we are right now, every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard time. My guest today is Dave Klein. You might know him from Agent Orange, drum with Agent Orange for, like you said, 10 years. And now he's running a recording studio. Were you always recording during the off tour season? Was it because, I
Yeah.
mean, you're pretty well established. Like, you got a really good thing going on. It's super impressive. Like, I see you're constantly working. I mean, I think you're working more than some of the big studios that I see around Southern California right now. I mean, some of these places are desolate, and you constantly have bands and musicians. Congratulations. That's just rad, dude.
Yeah, thanks. I don't know. I think the thing is, if you go back to your drinking question, I think that's where it made a big difference too. 'Cause it's like once I stopped drinking, like my business went up, but I started. It's because I was just putting more effort into it too. But also when I was doing the touring too, I just used the opportunity to like connect with other bands. So I was handing cards out and also doing the show with Cat for the Mechanic. I would give people cards so they could send their music for her for the show too. So I'm just gonna say, I think that's do or die to me a little bit. So even when I'm busy, I always have that in my head that I need to find work. So
That's I
you
know. I was going to tell you. So I don't know if you saw the flyer, but we're playing with Agent Orange in December, no, November,
Yeah,
at the
that's rad.
Whiskey, and you're on the flyer still. I think that's so
Yeah,
rad.
I know. Yeah,
It's like, you don't have to go do it. You still get the love. Hey,
it's okay. It's whatever. And
wait, you know what they say? I always say it about the toxic energy too. I go, hey, we don't even want to play on the festival. Just put our name on the flyer.
Yeah, it's whatever. I'm not gonna. It's all good. You know, it's all fine. So,
No, so what are you doing now when you're recording? Give me the rundown. You got isolation booths down there? Do you have what are you doing? Pro Tools? I see, because you have a bitchin' setup. You can.
I use Cakewalk. This is like there's my live room. You can kind of see it.
Brad.
This control room and a hallway and. You know, the bathroom and stuff. Well, actually, I work. So I use. I don't know if you heard of Cakewalk.
You're getting a little
It's.
blurry on me. I don't know what you. Oh, there you are. Now you look good. You got a glare. Do you have like a spotlight on or something?
Yeah, it's light here. Let me see if I can. We do that. Whoop! That didn't do anything.
Oh, there you go. Now you look really good.
Better. Okay.
That's fine.
So, yeah, I can't dim light. All my lights are on like my phone app, so I can't change it right now.
Right. It's all good. We're fine.
So, yeah, so I don't know if you're familiar with like Cakewalk. That's like the dye I use mostly. It's just, it used to be called Sonar. It's been around for a long time. So, so that's the, like the format I use, but I get a lot of stuff I get from people like to mix and master. So you just use waves, which are,
so you're actually mastering as well, mixing it. You're doing, it's A to Z. Mm-hmm. It's a whole process.
Yeah, I do a lot of, and like the thing is a lot of mastering, like some of the projects I'm working on right now. Well, I'm just finishing up. Have you ever heard of a band called the Messerschepps? They're like a Russian surf band. I think any more Russian bands. Yeah, they're awesome, and they actually have a really good. And that's the surf scene, which is, you know, it's a smaller scene.
Yeah,
they're bigger. You know, so I just finished their album, which I'm just finishing. But I master for vinyl and digital. But I've been doing a lot of, I do a lot of like I'm working a lot of comps too, like comps with different labels too. I've been working on. So there's a couple things I'm working on right now. One has got 30 bands on it. It's a label out of Georgia called Missing Think Records.
Very cool.
And so I've
a
done
a lot of stuff popping out of Georgia. A lot of stuff popping out of Atlanta and Georgia. A lot of movie work. A lot of music work. A lot of stuff has shifted there. And more and more people I'm talking to are like moving out there or got something going on out there.
Yeah, I think it's partially the property. My friend that I played with in the Ghastly once, he was in Georgia a lot because he was the key makeup artist on The Walking Dead. So there's a lot of production. Plus, it's way cheaper, right? I mean,
sure, absolutely.
With everything, my brother-in-law he's a costumer, so he does a lot of stuff here. But it's like the regulations, I think, in California are stricter.
Plus
it's more expensive.
You know? A good friend of mine is leaving to go there permanently at the end of the year, and he's doing a bunch of stuff with like Marvel Comics and stuff. I guess it's all going on out there.
Yeah, yeah. I have friends that moved to Georgia too. That like because they sold their house, their business out here, and then they had all this extra money. They bought one of my friends. They had a Manic Panic salon in this area, and also the guy was he just retired from Warner Brothers. So they sold their house, they sold their business, and they went to Georgia. They bought a farm. They have horses. This whole thing is crazy.
Well, you go to Georgia. I want to go to Georgia. I can be on the Family Feud.
Man, I love Family Feud. It's funny.
That's where they do it. That's where they do it. Is in Georgia. I go. Oh my god, I'd probably bomb.
Is it really?
Yeah. Well, at least that's how it's aired. It looks like that's where they're doing.
Right. That's the Steve Harvey one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I watch a lot of 70s and 80s game shows.
Oh, dude, it's crazy. Like during the pandemic, I got like. Do you ever watch Curb Your Enthusiasm? With Larry David.
That's like on HBO, right?
Yeah, I started it from the beginning. It's just the best. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I've never watched it.
And I'm actually thinking about starting The Sopranos over too, but Curb is rad, dude. It's just such dry humor. And just like, he wrote Seinfeld, so it kind of gives you an idea of like what it would be like. But his show, Curb Your Enthusiasm, is really, really good. You dig it. You can watch on HBO Max. You can watch all of them. Just start from the beginning. I think there's 7 seasons or something.
Do you like The Office too? Because it's kind of similar too, right? Similar kind of humor.
Very, very similar humor. Very similar humor. Very, very. So, how old were you then when you actually dove in? So you're drumming, you're touring with all these bands. Then you join Agent Orange, which is Agent Orange probably the most established and well known band that you had toured with and the longest band? Because I mean, Agent Orange is still pretty damn big, dude. I mean, they still do pretty good business.
Yeah, there's I guess so. The two surf bands that I was in, Ghastly Ones and Bomboras, they were both signed on Universal on Rob Zombie's label. That scene, they were actually kind of high up there.
Sure.
I used to play the Seeds too with Sky Saxon, which
scene,
and those were the biggest European tours I did were actually in the Seeds.
Okay.
Because the band never went to Europe in the 60s. So when we went out there, we were playing like big, huge venues, sold out like somewhere like a couple thousand people.
Oh, that's rad. Too. That's what it's all about right there.
But that's not, that, you know, it's all just a good part of my history or whatever too. So then
you're touring with Agent Orange and you're in that band for 10 years and you guys are just constantly moving and shaking. on your downtime, or were you on your downtime, or are you just keeping up with all the changes in technology with recording, and or did you already kind of have a really good foundation and a lot of knowledge prior to taking off with Agent Orange? Were you always
It's just been a work in progress,
right?
essentially, you
Because it's
know.
constantly changing, right? For you guys.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think the thing is, you can get with studios, you can get really wrapped up with gear, like, and just constantly keep buying stuff. And like right now, I haven't been buying a lot of gear. I got like another guitar recently and stuff like that too. But I mean, the technology of the software does change, and then, you know, the gear, but for the most part, it's all the same thing, right? Signal flow. You're just going from microphone through something that captures it on the, you know, on the way out. So I think a part of it is just advancing the way I work too, just getting
Yeah.
better at what I'm doing.
Right. Is there a lot of pain in the ass musicians that come through? Is every one of them pretty chill, pretty smooth, or do you still come across those prima donnas, or does it, you know, is it pretty good with everyone that you have coming through there?
I for the most part, I think it's pretty good. You know, there's always anything you do, there's always gonna be people you don't get along
Difficult
with.
musicians, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, the thing
Dysfunctional
too is that,
bands.
yeah, I mean, the thing is that you're always like, it's just life, right? You're always gonna
Yeah.
have people you don't click with or you have problems with. So
Right.
you know, I'm not gonna lie, there's, of course, there's been situations that never worked out good, but the
Name them,
majority of
name
them
them.
have been
I
really
want to
good.
know what band. I'm just joking.
No, I mean, the same thing here. So, but yeah, I'll just start making up band names. You know
Right?
that band, Jackets Wearing Jackets? Those guys
Right,
were assholes. No, I don't know.
right.
No, for the most part, everybody's cool though. I mean, and like, I have a lot of people that are repeat clients that I worked with too. So it's just, you know, that's where I feel fortunate. You know, but I mean, I make mistakes. I say the wrong thing sometimes. Just,
Sure.
you know, it's just that's just that's just being human though, you know.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
I try to. I guess the one thing I try to do since I am being in a, I try to put myself in the same perspective as bands are, as far as being a drummer or playing an instrument or that kind of stuff too, where I don't try to look at it from just the guy who's recording the thing or the
Right.
producer or whatever it
Right.
is. I try to look at it from the perspective of the musician too.
Yeah.
So
What do you think you'll do as far as heading out again? Do you think you'll go tour again and play in bands, or you think you're going to just kind of stick to the recording and engineering and everything that you have going now?
I don't know. You know, it's weird because I like it,
Well, the
it's
pandemic doesn't help either, right? It makes you kind of,
no, I mean, the
yeah.
thing too, I mean, I don't know if you knew, like those guys went on tour, they came back and a couple of them had COVID too
I
from the
think I
last
heard
tour.
something about that.
But like, I'm not terrified of the COVID thing. It's just that if I can avoid getting it, I'd prefer not to get it.
Oh,
You
absolutely.
know, that's the thing. I don't see, you know, I'm not going to put, I don't want to push my luck,
Right.
but, you know, I guess the thing, if I haven't really like tried any bands or tried out for any bands or anything too. I've been working like 6, 7 days a week.
I know,
So I'm
dude,
just so busy and stuff too.
you're turning and burning. I know, I've been keeping up with you. I'm like, damn, this guy's busy.
Yeah, I
Like, you
just
got a
try, you know, I'm
group.
just, it's just, that's, I've just been kind of like this like workaholic guy or something too. But you know, it's funny because I almost went and filled in with Rattlesnance for a show. Like, this is a half hour. I got hit up by Dan and then by JOD. And I was like, oh yeah. And I was going to try to move my thing, and then it worked out Casey was going to do it. So, you know, I don't know if I had a band that was, there was a band that it, I haven't really thought about it. I've just been kind of focused on this stuff too.
How
So it's
many
been nice
bands
taking a break.
are you doing a month right now, recording? A couple?
Well, a lot of it, the thing is, a lot of it's, I do a lot of stuff that's like mixes for other people that send me stuff,
Sure,
and a lot of
sure.
mastering stuff too. So like right now, so if I go by what's here, projects I'm working on right now, that's in the, my thing is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. So like 23 projects.
Hey, you're busy. That's rad, dude.
Yeah, and then
That's
there's
so
stuff, I have
dope.
stuff coming up too.
Right.
You know, and I try to comment everybody too. That's the thing, because like, so my June, for instance, I recorded like 4 or 5 albums in June.
Nice, nice.
And I had some work I was trying to get to, so now I'm just trying to play catch up with stuff too. So
Yeah.
it's, I try, everybody's, I try to be as, when I dealing with people, I try to be straight with my communication, saying I'm kind of busy, if it's okay to wait for the mix
Right.
or whatever, if you're you're cool with it, then that's awesome. So, and most people are, if you just try your best to communicate with everybody as best as you can.
Yeah, you know, and I think that that makes it such a pleasurable experience too when you're recording an EP, an album, or even just a single song where you can just go right to the engineer, such as yourself, and it's like, okay, here's what we want to do. You have the idea, you're quick, you know how to work the system, and you know what's going on. But at the same time, that same individual is going to mix it and master it. To me, that's always been kind of like a no-brainer. Like we did some stuff a while ago with Paul Miner, and it was rad because it was 10 minutes from home and he did everything. Where the EP that Toxic Energy did before that, we did it in the Pennywise studio up in Hermosa Beach. And then you go home and you listen to something and you're like, oh shit, I want to change that. And you got to go drive, you know, 45 minutes to an hour to go punch in a vocal part or a song part, and then you got to get it and then take it and get it mixed, and you got to take it and go get it mastered. So, I mean, major props to you, the knowledge and the integrity and the drive that you have to make this work. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know if bands really take that into consideration and they're appreciative of how fortunate they are to work with a person like yourself that's able to do the entire project.
Oh no, thanks. Yeah, well, you know, and it's not always like that a lot of time too. There's stuff I recorded at like Bill Stevenson's mixed. There's stuff that I've mastered that other people have done. It's just like, you know, it's just that's how it is. I mean, I'm happy to do all that stuff too, but I mean, so what you're talking about the thing too about it, the driving thing. So I did the Faction. I don't know if you heard the Faction album I did.
Yeah, with Caballero.
Yeah, and
Yeah,
so.
that's right. I was gonna ask you about that. I saw that, dude. That's so rad that you did that. I totally remember that. It
So
wasn't
what was
long
I gonna say?
ago.
That was a thing actually. The funny thing about that record and the pandemic was that the right before the pandemic hit, so late February, we went to San Jose right before the pandemic, and I went up to it was the Faction's last show. They played at the Ritz. So we also did a pre-production meeting after the show. And like, all right, great. Well, we made a plan. Well, they were supposed to come in that weekend. So it was March, whatever, it was 23rd or whatever, when the
Right.
shutdown happened.
Right.
So that record got postponed by like a year. We kept pushing it back further and further and further. But the thing I was going to say about you were talking about the driving thing was that we tracked that thing, we tracked that whole record in a week or whatever it was. And then, like, Adam, the guitar player, lives in Vegas. Cab lives in San Diego or, you know,
It's a neat area, yeah, right.
yeah. And then everybody else lives like in San Jose or Sacramento. So we thought we tracked every single thing. Fortunately, Adam, the guitarist, he does recording too. So he went to Vegas, sent him stuff, and he was like, oh man, he kept forgetting these like little guitar, just little things that were in the record.
Right.
So he would just feed them to me, which was kind of cool. At least he was able
That's
to do that without,
yeah.
yeah, without having to drive back. So it was like,
For
it was cool
sure.
working with him like that too. It's especially, I like when I work with people that know about recording. Actually, it's kind of easier,
Sure.
you know, but you know, I think that thing you're talking about the bands too is a lot of bands. I think a lot of people in bands don't totally understand the process or all the stuff involved with the process. So they think like the like you'll take tracks and you set levels and that's mixed. Well, there's also other things you can do with the tracks. There's cleanup, there's editing. If you want to tune vocals, if you want to fix stuff, if you know, there's EQing, all that kind of stuff to be done too. So the process usually always takes longer than you anticipate, you
Well, and
know.
then being an accomplished musician such as yourself, let alone being an accomplished and really good drummer, I mean, that actually, in my opinion, makes it even that much better to record with somebody that's an actual musician because they, and especially that likes your style of music, because I mean, you know, you're going to understand the rhythm section. You're going to understand things more than just a guy that just might be book smart and just knows Pro Tools really well that's just going to record. And I think that that's where the rubber meets the road. You
Yeah, I never went
know,
to school for this at all. It just,
see, yeah,
I
exactly.
just, I started recording stuff. The first thing I ever recorded was with like a Tascam Porta Studio with a little tape thing.
Right.
And we played, my friend and I were
Great.
making all these like silly, stupid songs, right?
Right.
But the drum set, I stuck the drum set like in a closet to like isolate it, which just sounded like it
That was
sounded
your
really
isolation
angry.
booth.
Yeah.
Yeah,
You
that's
know,
right.
like clothes hanging over and stuff too. But I was like, but I was always intrigued by recording stuff. So, you know,
That's
I
great.
guess anything you can learn anything more or less if you're driven to it. you know.
So how can I lead people in your direction? Like, if bands that follow my show or listen to my show or I talk to, they want to get in touch with you to record, how do we follow you?
Right, follow there, the sign.
And your Instagram. What's your Instagram? Is Dave Klein?
Yeah. Boy, I wish I had. Oh, I don't know if you can see this. I don't know if you can
I'll
see
I'll share it. I'll share it too.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll share it. So yeah, I have a website, which is DaveKleinRecording.com.
Cool.
I'm on Facebook. It's just, you know, it's either Dave Klein or Dave Klein. I have Dave Klein Recording on Facebook, and I also have like just a personal page or whatever that I post all the same stuff on everything anyway. Cool. I have no life. All my life is the studio stuff, so it's I like every post is the studio stuff.
Do you have an Instagram? Do you have a clock in there or no?
What's that?
You have a clock in the studio? No clocks.
Hell no.
No clocks. No clocks. No windows.
Well, there's like 500 clocks around me. Every computer screen has a clock.
Oh yeah, that's true. I that is true.
Hey, I have a word clock too, on my stuff. So, Instagram. I have it's Dave Klein Recording on my Instagram too. I just try to make everything the same, so it's kind of
very simple. Very very easy to remember. So what are you doing outside of the studio? Are you listening to anything good? What have you been listening to? Any good hot bands on the horizon that I need to know about? Or what are you into? What are you doing when you're not recording?
Man, when I'm not recording, I either listen
to talk radio. Anymore. Yeah, talk radio.
I talk to talk radio in my truck.
There you go.
And I watch game shows. I don't listen to any music when I'm done working because it's just
are
like
every day. Are you surfing or skating? No.
Yeah, the only thing I've been doing is I work and then I take one day off. I have Mondays off. My wife's off on Mondays. So I take Mondays off and we just hang and like watch movies and we just got like a hot tub and stuff. So we'll just like go in the hot tub or watch movies or just chill or whatever. And just, you know, and I just eat junk food on my days off. And I got a sweet tooth pretty bad too. So that's the thing I have to kind of watch too, but you know.
Well, that's okay.
What are you going to do?
That's right. What are you going to do? You know, it's better than drinking all the time.
Yeah, and the funny thing
too, you won't be hung over from eating too much candy and ice cream.
No, I know. And the other thing too, it's like a when you quit drinking too, your body craves sugars like crazy. So I was like the root beer fiend when I quit drinking at first, and I actually had them like I had root beer on the rider, so every club there'd be like root beers and stuff there. So, but I didn't drink that much. I just drink sparkling water. I drink Liquid Death.
There you go. My sponsor. Thank you. Actually, I got some of this for you, dude. You want sparkling or the flat?
I'd love to.
I'll cruise up. I'm going to be in your neck of the woods up in that part of LA next week. We'll have to meet up one day. I'm going to come check out your studio and I'll drop off a case.
Yeah, you know what? Next week's good too, except for any day but Wednesday, any day but Monday, or if it's like Tuesday.
Yeah, I can't do a Wednesday. I'm taking my daughter to see 21 Pilots.
Oh, on Wednesday?
Yeah, at the Wiltern. But any other day, I'll cruise up and I'll bring you a case.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you I'm know, so the funny stoked thing that Liquid Death hooked me up. Like, so our studio is actually in Sherman Oaks, Van Nuys, and we were able to open back up. And I've been doing my shows there. Actually, I will be there next Thursday. I think I have Greg from the Hepcat coming in. But,
oh, nice.
Yeah, dude, I love it. I was thinking about you the other day about this too. But real quick, so we're doing our show up there, and our studio is back open. And then I've been in some cahoots with Sirius XM talking with them, but they haven't opened the studios yet for Sirius XM. They haven't opened them up in New York or L.A. And it's sad because the one in L.A. is like a brand new – it's like a Taj Mahal. It's a beautiful, beautiful place, and they haven't opened it up yet. So I'm hoping that comes through as well, and I could push the Liquid Death on over into the Sirius XM building too. But again, the pandemic really kind of just it put a big pause on my radio stuff. I was doing a show at KOCI FM, a terrestrial radio show, FM, FCC governed. Dumb buttons, running a board, hitting commercial breaks, hitting station IDs. And I mean, it was rad, but then the pandemic hit and I didn't have sponsors. And it was just like, you know, and I can't believe it because if you know, I started over at Chaotic. I never thought that I was going to go to a terrestrial FM frigging station let alone doing LA Talk, let alone having my foot in the door at SiriusXM and, you know, a possibility over there. I mean, like, I had no idea that I would take it as far as I took it. And then I got the Liquid Death deal, and I'm a small sponsor, but I'm so grateful. I'm so appreciative. I mean, that's so rad just to be like, you know, I've built the whole little thing, this whole little radio gig on my own. And, you know, I don't know if you remember the poor man from K-Rock back in the day.
Well, so it's funny. I'm friends with, I talked to the poor man. He's dating my friend.
That's Amy. The same station I was working at, dude, in Newport Beach. KOC.
Oh, you know, so do you know Amy? Do you know
Amy?
Yeah,
I met her once. Because he did a morning show and I did a night show.
Yeah, he actually, I sent him music, and I was supposed to send him more stuff too, and I just didn't get, it's on my list of things to send the poor man music to. But so Amy, the thing about Amy too, she's an old friend of mine, because she used to be married to this guy, Lee, who had Dionysus Records, the first label I was like, the small label I was signed to. But so I worked on a thing, so sorry, I'm like going in circles here.
That's all right.
But I still talk to Amy, but she was like, she's dating the poor man. The thing is, Amy brought in, she brought, do you know who Tony Valentino is from the Standells?
No.
Oh, it was a 60s band. So her son did a song with Tony Valentino, and I played drums on it that recorded here. And she brought Tony Valentino in here too, which was pretty rad. I was like, wow.
Wow.
So I don't know. Anyway, that was a weird little story, but right, yeah,
he's still over there. Yeah, he's still over there doing the show. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so I want to have you come down to these to the station too when we do that or whatever ends up happening with that. But yeah, I totally was tripping out on that. I forgot that you were over there doing the Surf Report with Kat and all that at Chaotic back in the day.
Yeah, I was doing. I was also doing when I was on the road. I would do the road. I would call in from the road.
I remember
the wacky news and weather reports and stuff too.
Because I did my show right after her.
Yeah, so Liquid Death. I've had people bring Liquid Death, and I actually tried writing them before to say, "Hey, I have a bunch of bands in here that like fall under like the what they do." You know, it's like a lot of skaters and punk bands and stuff. But I never heard back, so I was like, "All right."
You know what? I didn't get the sponsor until like I really had a. They're like, "Well, who have you interviewed? Who have you had on your show?" And I've had some heavy hitters, you know. And I says, "Hey, you know that." Michael Jackson's drummer, Jonathan Sugarfoot, as you probably know who he is, right? Mm-hmm. I had him. I had, you know, Cypress Hill. I've had, you know, Pennywise. I've had, you know, Bad Religion. I've had, you know, Buck Cherry. I had, you know, DJ Yella from NWA. A lot of 80s dudes, a lot of 80 meddler dudes from the 80s, the Rats, the Poisons, you know, those types of guys. So I just keep hustling. And then a lot of fat record bands. Like I had Fat Mike from NOFX. That was rad. It was a little intimidating, but it was a lot of fun. So yeah, anyway, right. I think that's how I kind of got there. But anyway, Dave Klein Recording, get on his Instagram. If you want to got a band, you want to go to record, he's the guy to do it with. You can go in and record and he'll mix it and master it. And it's a one-stop shop for everything. And if you've never recorded professionally in a band, you will be very, very pleased with the comfort and the convenience of recording with somebody like Dave Klein at Dave Klein Recording. So yeah, I'll definitely make sure to spread that and get the word out there and hopefully send some bands. You're up in Eagle Rock, right?
Highland Park. So Highland Park. Just like next door. Okay. Yeah.
Right in that vicinity off of the 110 over there. Are you by York? By York Avenue?
Yeah, I'm just like right up the hill from York. So okay. Yeah, I'm between the two, the 134, the 110.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's all that little same vicinity.
Yeah. So during the pandemic, were you just on lockdown? Were bands just sending you stuff to mix and master? Because I presume you weren't having people just come in. Not really when we were on lockdown, right? So bands were just recording at home and doing their own thing. And the technology thing like really took off. I mean, I never wanted to do radio this way. I never, Chaotic tried to get me to do it this way. KOCI tried to get me to do it. I was so against it. I was so like, no, I'm going to play a song. I'm going to play a record. I'm going to put it back alphabetically. I'm going to run it like an old school radio show needs to be ran. I never was about the video thing, but I had during the, when the pandemic hit, I had no other choice but to go this route. So now things have changed so tremendously with technology because of the pandemic. My question to you is, you know, there was bands that were sending each other music, you know, like all around the country or city to city or however it worked. So then was that keeping you kind of busy in that flow too? Because bands like, hey, dude, mix this. Hey, dude, master this or whatnot. I mean, were you getting music submitted that way during the lockdown?
Yeah, I got some of that stuff. The thing is, I had some projects that were like already, I had to finish up anyway. So that kind of came through it. And then I had some bands in here. The thing, I went and bought like medical grade HEPA filters for the studio. Oh, and I just did a mask policy too on some of the stuff too. And I also did a thing where I didn't have bands bring in friends, you know, no extra people, but it was very far and few between as far as tracking at the time. So, you know, it was a weird fine line. Everyone's trying to figure out, but the thing about it too, nothing has really changed except for there's vaccinations now.
Right.
It's like if you think about the pandemic, it hasn't even really changed. Mm-hmm. It's just that now at this point in it, from where it started, people kind of understand what's going on with it a little more, but it was just, well, remember the freak out at first, nobody knew what to do. You know, that's the whole thing. So
flatten the curve. That's all everyone said. We got to flatten the curve.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like I think that's one of the things too, is just, it's like these kind of situations, like these major health situations, it's going to change from day to day. Everyone's to kind of figure out what's going on with it. So, I just try to roll with it. I had a lot of postponements.
That's how not I
am. Cancellations, but
yeah.
But right now where it's at, it's really not much different than it was 2 years ago, if you think about
it. It's really not. And I'm
just saying, everyone's mindset's different, right? The thing's like, hey, look at it. You're like, now you're like, oh, I got a store, I put a mask on, whatever. You know, and some people have a big problem with it. I don't really care. I'm like, I don't, you know how much sanding I've done in this house and work where I've worn masks for like 8-10 hours? It doesn't really bother me.
It doesn't bother me. Like wearing it,
but you know, it's just everybody's the other thing with it, but it's, you know.
No, but, dude, you know, it's the wild, wild west out here now. I mean, people are just crazy, man. And the shit that you see going on Melrose now and, you know, just everything that's going on and how just like sketchy it is. You can't even look twice at somebody and people are just like, you know, they're aggro, man. And it's just, it's really a trippy time. And, you know, hopefully, you know, and I think at the end of the day, which is kind of trippy too. I mean, we all want the same thing, right? We want our families and our friends to be healthy and happy. We want good education. We want good hospitals, but yet we're still all so divided, you know, but at the end of the day, if everybody stopped, I mean, I think kind of, we all kind of want the same thing, you know, like at least I do.
We all just get along.
I don't, so many people got so many fucking opinions and fucking, you know, and I'm just like, dude, like, I just sit there and, you know, and I just, yeah, all right, cool, I get it. And then on to the next one. And this dude's talking about this. And I'm just like, I sit there and I listen for a little bit. And I'm like, you know, I'm the type of guy, looking, man, I don't care who you voted for. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're a good person and you're good to society. You're all right in my book. That's how I look at it. I mean, there used to be a time where people could have political differences and still hang out at the end of the day. And now that's gone. And that's what's kind of sad. And there are people now too that trip me out too. They're like so like political. And I'm like, dude, like, when did you become so political? Like, I've known you for fucking 20 years. Like, you've never said anything about a president that was Democrat or Republican. All of a sudden now, like, you're flying a Trump flag or you're flying a Biden flag or you're flying it's just like, what, dude? I'm just like, all right. And you know what? I just keep the peace. I'm just like, right on. And I just kind of roll with it, like you just said. I just roll with it, dude. I just fucking roll with it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that like you're saying, that at the end of the day, you just, the main thing is everybody's healthy. And I wish, you know, it's like, it's too bad that everything's politicized right now. So I just, the studio is like a political free zone, you know, whoever you voted for, just your thing, just, you know, just don't get in my face about it. It's like, it's fine.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Everyone's entitled to their own opinions and stuff too, which is totally silly. So, you know,
yeah.
I don't know. it's a pretty wacky world. That's why I kind of like just being here anyway, just not dealing with this stuff too.
You know? Oh yeah, dude, you got a beautiful studio. You just sitting there and do your thing. So you were going to tell me though, what's going on? What are you listening to?
Anything just the projects different? I work on.
That's it.
After 8-10 hours of it or 11, I'm like, I'm just going to watch TV. Like,
right.
Like literally it's like, you know, it's hard to listen to music all the time too. So I do. I enjoy I enjoy a good talk radio or a good like talk radio or you know
Sorry.
science fiction or something. You
Yeah,
know.
sorry to keep cutting you off. There was like a mean delay, so I apologize.
Oh no, I didn't even notice it.
Are you drumming much? Like, do you get a chance to drum? Did you drum a lot just to keep your chops up and whatnot?
A little bit. I've been more just playing on people's stuff,
Yeah.
you know. So like, there's a guy, Michael Fordaze, I've been working with, and he played in a couple bands. Like, you know, I've done stuff with him, and there's a few other people I'm looking at stuff with, but it's more I've been collaborating with people on some projects. I have a friend who's I have kind of like this anonymous music project. I work with somebody that we work on stuff too, and a lot of it's like. I do a lot of drums on it, and we'll share duties on bass. He does
Yeah.
guitar, and I'll do a lot of synth stuff, or he does some synth stuff too, like that kind of
That's
stuff
cool.
too. I
That's
just been
cool.
the thing is I'm just I don't want to limit my I like experimenting with stuff too. So like
Right.
right now I'm not in a band per se, you know, I'm not
Yeah.
like any official bands. I just have these little projects I'm working on that are with other writers and stuff too, you
Cool.
know,
That's
which
rad,
is
man. It's so cool.
yeah, it's fun, dude. It's and the thing is, and that this isn't
No
saying
pressure.
anything bad of anything,
No pressure.
But I was going to say the thing is, touring, if you tour doing the same stuff year after year after year, I started craving songwriting too, a little bit too,
Yeah,
you know? And so once I kind of got out, once I like kind of got out of these bands, it's kind of like when you're in a long-term committed relationship and you become free. So what do you start doing? You just start like screwing every chick around or whatever, right? You're just like this swinging dick going nuts. So I'm kind of like musically single at the time, which I'm enjoying too. A little
cool.
bit, you know, but
Hey, I gotta wrap up, man, but I just wanted to get on and check in with you and wish you good health and much more success in what you're doing and I will come see you next week. I'll bring you some Liquid Death and Dave Klein Recording. If you're a band and you want to record, this is the guy. Get down there. You can mix it. You can master it. It's a great, great opportunity for an up-and-coming band or even a very well-established band. Dave Klein Recording, DaveKlein.com. There's many ways to find him. He drummed for Agent Orange for the last 10 years. Phenomenal guy. I hope to see you out at the Agent Orange show that we play in November. Thanks for taking a few minutes out of your afternoon to ch wrap it up with me and chop it up. I'm super stoked, and I want to talk some ska and some rude ska with you guys with you next time. But I got to cut loose because I have a show on after me. But again, thank you so very much for getting on and shooting the shit with me. And Dave Klein Recording, get out there, record with him, and send me music and send me bands so I can
I
play them
will. Thanks,
on
Greg.
my show.
Hey, let me take a selfie real quick of
All right.
us. Like that. Wave. Whoop.
Did you get it?
No, I turned my phone off too. Oh.
Try it again.
Let me try it one more time. Sorry.
You froze.
There we
All
go.
right.
Skip the phone. So, okay. God. Never mind.
You can take it off the screen. All right, Dave. Thanks for checking in. Good to
Never
see you.
mind. Anyway.
Keep drumming, keep recording, and send me music, and I'll see you real soon. Have a wonderful afternoon and stay healthy and safe out there, bro.
You too. Thanks, Greg. And I'll
All
talk to you
right,
soon.
dude.
I'll see you next
All
week.
right, man. Thanks for your time.
Bye.
Later.
Bye. Thanks so much. Bye.